Okay, with all of that said, Jeff mentioned that they have part one of this new series out on the desk outside on the way out that you can go to. Today is part three. I'm going to do four parts. So this is part three that we're going through right now. And each one of them has a little subtitle. And this one's called At the Appointed Time. It's critical that we understand what this is, being at the appointed time. Last week we talked about a verse, not last week, but the last time I spoke, about a single verse, which we're going to pick up today from there. It was Joshua 1, verse 11. It says, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go possess the land which the Lord the God has given you to possess." Now, the key to understanding this is not just the instruction, believe it or not. The whole key behind it is the timing. It's the appointed time when the decision was made to tell the children of Israel to make the crossing. The reason that's important is because, you see, all of that was left for you and I. 1 Corinthians 10 says, and I'll show you that again today, all of that was left for you and I for our generation. So when God told him to make that crossing, there was a specific reason that he waited for that specific day. Part of that day was the 10th day of the first month. That 10th day of the first month means that God chose, like he did the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the first of the first fruits. So when God made that decision, go over in 3 days, when they actually crossed, it was the 10th day of the first month. Christ being the first fruits, you and I joining him in the kingdom, which is the millennial reign, or the first fruits of the first fruit. You're the first fruits. So God picked that specific day to come across, the exact same day that he picked Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Since he's the first fruits, you're the first fruits of that first fruit. Wow, that's incredible. But I'm going to tell you something. It gets much more incredible because that timing of the first day of the 10th month times to the year you're in today, 2020. That is what I want to show you today. I believe that I can make the case. It's not a theory. I think I can make the case that this is information that God has given to us to lay out the track, to give us a roadmap to tell you where you are today because of where you're going. That's what I intend to do today. So part three now. There's two key points, the two key elements that I want to bring out for where we are today in this series. Excuse me. The first is the key is the time of the decision to make the move. Now, I've already given you one. 10th day of the first month. But wait till you see of all the information that ties us into the year 2020. Wait till you see this information. And second is the instructions that accompany the decision. Because it's not going to be just enough to know. You're going to have to be able to follow through with what the decision of what God told you to do. None of the first generation coming out of Egypt made it. And the truth was, even Moses missed it because at one point he didn't follow the instructions. And even Moses didn't go in. Now, that should be an alarm to all of us. And Moses was a friend of God. God loved Moses. He's incredible. He'll be in the kingdom and have a position. But God showed us that from that example of Moses making his mistake and not going in, he played the type of Christ, remember? Moses was the type, right? Moses was the type of Jesus. Joshua is the type of the Savior Christ coming back. One meek, one warrior. Both Christ representative. So what we see from Moses, because he didn't go in, because why? He messed up on the instructions. He lost his cool one day. Must we fetch water for you? And God says, because you didn't give me credit. You were disobedient, you didn't go in. That showed us that if Jesus Christ failed in just one point, that's all it would have took. It would have been over. What an incredible story that God laid out for us. All right, so with all that, let's go on now. The focal point that ties these two together is in the same chapter that's found in verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, and you shall may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. So if you want to make it to the kingdom, you want to go in, this book of the law cannot depart from your conscience. No, you can't go in on your own. You can't make it on your own. And as God says with Joshua, you've never been this way before. In a time that's never been like any other time in history. And you and I are living in that time today. Again, I intend to show that, what I believe that to take place today. So here's the verse, what God said in chapter 1, verse 11. It says, pass through the host, command to kill children, prepare you victuals. Now, we covered victuals briefly, but I'm going to actually get into victuals a lot more next time. Because this here is our meat, our substance, is what's going to carry us through. Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of he who sent me. In the same way it has to be for you and I. But within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess. Now, what's readily seen is the information clearly given. If we took the scripture for just what it says, there's no problem. The people, the children of Israel, they got themselves together. In 3 days, they crossed over Jordan. But remember, there's something else that's missing that we didn't cover. And it's, I call that misdirection. This is what God wants everyone to see. But there's other information that he's reserved for his elect. All right, this is what this is. There's the verse. What is not seen is the point of origin. Now, what do I mean by the point of origin? It's where God makes the decision to go out. To say, what is it that God wants us to understand for our day? 1 Corinthians 10 said that all these happened for our admonition. So what is that about this that I carry into modern day time that you and I in today that God wants us to understand that is the point of origin and the purpose for making it information for us today? All right, that's the point that's not seen. So now, I call that the appointed time. And all through the Bible, God uses the appointed time. All of this leaded into from the time he instructed Abraham, all the way back to Genesis 15, verses 7 through 16. I'm not going to read all the verses. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the paraphrased concept of what you need to understand for this series. God's instruction to Abraham was going into and coming out of captivity at the appointed time. So let me tell you. Remember he says, okay, he went to sleep like in this vision. And he went through the vision and everything that he saw at that particular time. Then God brings him to the point where he tells him, you're going to be a sojourner. The people here are going to be going into a captivity state, but they're going to come back here in 400 years. Remember the story? All of that is that it's going to happen at a particular time. They're going to come back out of captivity at a particular time. Now, we've seen that through the series all the way back to the day of the Lord, going all the way through from the time of 1517 through 1917 when the area of Israel was in the hands of other than Israelites. Remember that? 400 years, remember? 30 years later, you have the nation of Israel, which is Judah, really, was established exactly 430 years. So you put all that together, you see the timing of the captivity, coming out of captivity, and the duality going all the way into our time. That is the beginning, believe it or not, of what's not seen that's there. Then you pick up the story in Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 8. Now we come to the time they had already been captives now for 400 years or so, and now they're getting ready to come out at the appointed time. When that happened, God had set in place Moses to be established, to be born. When he did that, Satan was there to destroy Moses, remember? To kill all the male babies, remember? Happened again at the time of Christ. Every time God has a plan, Satan has a counterfeit. to come in to substitute and destroy what God's trying to do. So it happened there. So Moses was born and to bring the children of Israel out to death. Now, today we have, if we went through it, the two witnesses that God has planned to bring about the warning at the end time. We don't know yet who they are. You know, it's possible they don't even know who they are yet. But if Christ is coming back within a time frame according to the prophecy after 2 days, they're alive on this planet today, somewhere. All right? So now we pick up the story again in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God's instruction to Joshua to be ready in 3 days. Now the appointed time was here. What I want to say today is, I believe the year 2020 was an appointed time. And I want to back that up through the scriptures today to give you an opinion. So now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to separate opinion and I'm going to separate fact. What we see is known fact versus conclusions drawn from fact. That way we don't have any misrepresentation of what's going on. All right, that's what I don't want to try to do today. So now, I can find only one event that ties everything together. So what do I mean by that? Brings together the duality, a former and a latter, a physical, a spiritual, a type, an anti-type, and something that God told the end from the beginning. Because God says, He says, I told you the end from the beginning. All right? That connects the prophecies of Joel, Revelation, and Daniel. And now, it connects Joshua to be ready in 3 days, or a day as a year, possibly 3 years. Any idea what that is? Can you believe it? There's one event that ties all of that together. There's just one event. You can go through history, you can go through scripture, but there's still only one event. And even if you think you got it, you got to remember, whatever it is, it has to be in existence from the time of Genesis 1:1. The end from the beginning. And the sad thing about this is it is the one thing that the Church of God community, by and large, has ignored. And the reason they have ignored it, because it wasn't taught by the worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong or Garner Ted Armstrong. But the point, it wasn't taught by them because it wasn't for their day. They both die and they're gone. It wasn't necessary. They knew this. But this is the event. Mm-hmm. The heavenly signs. It's found in Revelation 12, verse 1 and 2. You read that. You begin to read that. Now, people say, well, that's just your opinion. It's my opinion it is. But what's not my opinion is the effect. That happened. See what I mean by separating it? But you have to draw a conclusion. Why? Why did it happen? What is written in the scriptures? It only happened twice in this way. Total of 4 times, similar to this way. 2 times with the fall of the temple in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And 2 times only with the coming of Christ the first time and the coming of Christ the second time. That's the only event that ties everything together. Now, here's the amazing thing. How does this tie into 3 days? See, now, there's somebody in the audience that's going, yeah, how does that? That's what I want to bring you today. All right, so this is where it gets really exciting for me and hopefully for you. But I want to separate what is fact from opinion because I don't want my opinion to overstate what God's Word actually says. But you see, God's given us a roadmap. And He expects for you to come up with a certain amount of understanding from what He's teaching us. But it has to be based on Scripture, not thought, not my feelings. It has to be based on Scripture. So to base an opinion, your opinion has to pull in all of the facts of what God gives you. That make sense? Okay. All right, let's go. Important to understand for our day, the type. When they crossed the Jordan, their plight into the promised land had only begun. They wasn't finished. When you and I begin, when Jesus Christ returns at the beginning of the millennium, are we in there? Are we done? This is going to be a battle. Christ is going to be battling this world. There's going to be turmoil like we have never seen before. That comes after he comes, not before. So when he crosses into the land to bring you and I spiritually crossed over, the battle isn't finished. It's only begun. Two, the antitype. Revelation 1:10. When John found himself in the day of the Lord, the events of Revelation had only begun. Right, from the day of the Lord and the series we gave there, I think I made a conclusive point. Again, it's my opinion. People want to disagree, they can disagree. I believe Revelation 1:10 tells us that the beginning of the day of the Lord began when God said it did, when John says, I'm in the day of the Lord. And it completes at the end of Revelation with a new heaven and a new earth. A day of the Lord is 1,000 years. But when did it begin? I believe it began in Revelation 1:10. But when is that? We believe it was that heavenly sign, is what I've been teaching, and I believe time will prove whether it is or not. That's my opinion, separated from fact. On both occasions, people are instructed to make ready. The children of Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, says, be ready, in 3 days you're going to cross. In Revelation 1:10. What do you mean by be ready? He said, go to the churches and tell them to get their act together. And he went to each one of the churches. Every one of them had a problem except for the Philadelphia church. Right? Every one of them had a problem. But they were all told to get ready, clean up their act, and to watch. So that's what they did. So the point of this series is to point out that it is possible and even probable that 2020 is the beginning of the time referred to in Joshua 1, verse 11, be ready in 3 days. Now, that's my foundation. Now let's go make the point. Let's make the case, right? Let's make the case. This is the graph that I brought out last week in the timeline. So I'm going to give it to you just as I gave it in the last part two. Then we're going to go back and we're going to separate it, opinion from fact, and add things to it that you're going to be absolutely amazed today. So in part two, I brought out this chart for a timeline to be ready in 3 days. Today, he says, I'm going to go into that, right? So that's what I'm going to do today. So now, Hosea 6, verse 2 says this. After 2 days, or 2,000 years, according to what God's word says, he will revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Opinion or fact? Fact. That's a fact. That's not my opinion. That's the verse. That's the verse. 2020, the 2030 agenda with the Pope, fact or opinion? It's a fact. That is a fact. This building, what a building. Fact or opinion? It's a fact. All right? So you can't deny it. Now, people want to argue, all right? So that's what I'm saying, like, is that a fact? All right, let's go on. See what else we got here. The blood moons that fell on the 14th and 15th, they call them the blood moon tetrads. They happened on the holy days in 14, 15, and Passover and Tabernacles, Passover and Tabernacles, 2 years back to back, 8 times since Christ. Fact or opinion? Fact. Now people say, oh, that don't mean that. So I'm not telling you what it means. Did it happen? Why did it happen? See what I mean? So you have to draw a conclusion. I mean, does it just happen? Or is there something going on? The Jews know that every time that happens, there's a problem. I mean, there's disasters that happens to Israel when that happens. And I'm telling you, it happened with the United States. There was a major disaster that people don't even realize. Now, the federal government put out a report that in 2024, the Minsky moment, the United States will be bankrupt and all we can do is pay the interest on the debt. Fact or opinion? That's a fact, but it's also an opinion because it's the timing of it. See, the fact is that it's going to happen, but the opinion is when. So they're going to move it, I think it's moving up even closer. I really do because that was put out before COVID. All right, 2020 this year, is that a fact or opinion? I know it sounds like I'm being silly, but I'm trying to point out something to show you separation. People want to argue with you with this kind of stuff, all right? There is a 2020. You're in it. You're in it. 2020 this year. All right, so now let's go on. Did anything happen 3 days or 3 years ago that are important? Yeah, that brings us back to 2017. Did anything happen 3 years ago? A day is a year. Remember that Israel was told to be ready in 3 days. But they were also told for 40 days they'd be in the wilderness for 40 years, a day is a year. So God has given us the insight that when he tells us these things, that we need to also look at 3 years versus 3 days. Did anything happen 3 days ago? He sure did. 2017, what happened in 2017? There's that sign. Now, when we put it all together, so there's only one thing that connects everything together, that's not opinion, that's a fact. Ties it all together, it's that event. There's nothing else that ties these things together. All the stories that we have, nothing ties them together. Opinion, though, is that the heavenly sign in Revelation 12 that we're looking at. Now, there are people in the church who say, no, it has nothing to do with that. Then what is it there for? What does it have to do with anything then? All right, so I'm going to show what I believe to be, from my opinion, that it has a very pertinent fact that brings us to the 2020, that takes us to the time of Joshua crossing the Jordan to tell us where we are today in type and anti-type. Now, Revelation 1:10, I was in the day of the Lord. Now, I believe that if you go back to this series and what I've been teaching, that I believe Revelation 1:10 began with that event, the beginning of the day of the Lord. Why would I say that? Because it's the only sign that ties into the Old Testament or the New Testament when Jesus Christ came the first time. It was the day of the Lord physically being born on this earth. What was one of the signs that there was back then? The wise men knew what they were. They were following them. There were signs in the heavens. That's the only sign that connected the two. There's one other one, but it connects something a little bit differently that the wise men followed at the particular time, which I'll cover another time. So now, 2020. So now we're here today, 3 years later from 2017. 2018, 1 year. 19, 2 years. 20, 3 years. So now we're at 2020. Joshua 11, verse 1 says this. Prepare your victuals, remember, be ready in 3 days. So 3 years from 2017, when all these events brings us to 2020. What if I'd have known and understood all of this 3 years ago? And so just listen, in 2020, something's definitely going to happen that's going to bring this nation and the world to its knees. And then it happened. So you said, wow, it's a prophet. Point was, we didn't understand the scriptures yet because God hadn't walked us through that yet. One thing we need to understand is that whatever we need to understand, God's already got it written. We need to be able to have the gift of Daniel to be able to discern what he's already written for God to open the door. So I believe we're at that stage right now, 2020, of opening the understanding of where we are today. All right, so now let's add some more stuff to it now. God says, prepare the victuals. For 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. So in 3 years, 3 years from this event brings us to this. Are we in the promised land yet? No, we're on the edge of it. Just like the children of Israel were. When they crossed over, they were on the edge. And God says, you have just begun the beginning of the end to bring you into the promised land. I believe that God has brought us into the beginning of the end of going into the promised land. Now, facts that we know, no speculation. First, 2020, that's a fact, we're there. 2030, the agenda with the Pope, no doubt there, that happened. When did the Pope introduce that? 2015. What happened in 2015? Remember this? He was in the White House on the Day of Atonement. He went to the governing body of the United States and delivered a message. He left the governing body of the United States. He went to the UN. Then he went to the founding of this nation. All of it was set up 15 years ago from the agenda. By the way, there's a type. Remember, we covered it. Remember when Hitler became power? 1933, 15 years later, the physical nation of Israel was established. I believe what you're looking at right now, what God has been able to give us an understanding to know, by looking at what Satan's doing. He's built his counterfeit plan that we're understanding what God's doing because Satan is counterfeiting it. And we've seen the duality because it happened before with Adolf Hitler and the physical nation of Israel. It will happen again with the spiritual nation of Israel at the return of Jesus Christ. Ready? Let's go on. He was building, that's what the Pope is building right now, a millennial reign. All the nations are going to come together. All the religions are going to come together. And they're all going to worship the Pope. It's a millennial reign. Everything here that cannot be accomplished in this planet, because Jesus said so, starts with poverty. He's going to eliminate poverty. Jesus says you will always have the poor among you. So where's he going to start? To counterfeit what Jesus says is going to happen. You see how that works? Going on. Let's go through this some more. The re-education process begins in 2020. Why 2020? It's because that's the time, I believe, of the crossing of God's plan. Remember, it's the point of God beginning his plan into effect. He moved them across the Jordan. When God moved them across the Jordan, they sat there. They didn't go anywhere. They didn't move in right away. They sat there and they waited. You know what else they had to do? They all had to be circumcised. They had to commit their lives to knowing that when they went into the promised land, the battle that they were about to take, and I'm telling you, this is what I'm going into next week for you and I. The battle that you and I are about to undertake, you have to put your life on the line. If you're not willing to put your life on the line, you're not going to make it. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. They had to be recommitted. Every one of them were circumcised and trusting in God. In fact, God told Joshua three times, be strong and of a good courage. Three times. Like the third time, it's like he's mad at Joshua. Didn't I tell you? Go back and read it the way he says it. It's almost like Joshua couldn't understand what was being said. And in their minds, they went 40 years through the wilderness. All their parents had died. Elder brothers and sisters, grandparents, all of them died in the wilderness. 20 years and under, the ones going in now. All the stories they heard about the giants and everything they had to accomplish. And when they went across, I'm going to show you about Jericho. They saw Jericho from the waters where they were. You could see Jericho because it was so big and on this mound. It was only 7 miles from the Jordan. And God sat them right there. So when they moved across, the entire area of the promised land was now turned upside down. Gates were locked up. Cities were closed down. They're preparing for war because they heard about the children when they came across. And they saw the water dry up. What do you think is happening to this planet right now? And if all the stuff that's going on, you know what they're worried about? You singing in church? Really? Hundreds of thousands, millions of people sick and dying? You're worried about people in church singing? Are you serious? Because you see, when Jesus came in Genesis, it says in Genesis, and the earth was darkened without form and void, right? Go back and read Matthew 4. When Jesus began his ministry, he came to a planet that was dark. It was like there was no light in it. Satan is bringing this planet again to darkness. Just like it was in Genesis. That is the battle that's taking place right now. And I believe it is taking place because we went 3 days from 2017 to 2020. And now the world is being turned upside down. Getting ready for the final war that's going to take place. 2020, the key year in God's plan for the return of Jesus Christ. We didn't see it before because we didn't understand Joshua 1:11. Be ready in 3 days or 3 years. To cross. We simply took it for what it said, not for the point of origin of why God put it there. Because you see, he put it there for the end generation. 1 Corinthians 10 says so. All of those things happened to them for us. So it wasn't for them, it was for us. The Israelites were told to be ready in 3 days. Any significant prophetic event happened 3 days ago? This is what I asked you last week. A day is a year. How about 3 years ago? With all the information, you're ready to begin the timeline with 3 days to tell us where we are today in prophecy. I gave you that last week, or the last session. Now let's build on what I gave you last time. So this is what I had brought up just a few minutes ago. All right? And that's where I stopped. Right? That's where I stopped it. My clicker would ever work. All right, there's Hosea 6, verse 2. After 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live. And I asked that question earlier. Is this an opinion or is this a fact? That a fact is not an opinion. That's a fact. That takes place around 2030, 31. Now, is Christ coming back then? I don't know. Because God's got other things. He says, I'm going to extend time. You see that in Revelation. Or he's going to shorten time for the elect's sake. So it's amazing when you look at this. But one thing's for sure, I got a time frame with something to look at. Something else that we have here. Satan has a time frame too. It's amazing that when you see the underworld, the evil of this world, all talking about the end of the world around 2030. Probably the end of their world. Because Christ is coming back. So now we have a connection from 2020 to Hosea 6:2. You had almost about 10 years. If you knew Christ was coming back in 10 years, what are you going to do? Think about it. Anything supposed to happen between now and here? I think we're looking at something, yeah. So now, there we have the blood moon tetrads. What happened there? Boom. There's the bombshell right there. Separating mankind from its connection with God. Be fruitful and multiply. The marriage between man and woman. When we changed that law, everything went into a disruption in 2015. So now, what conclusions can we draw from these facts? That's a fact. That's not an opinion. The moons is a fact. That's not an opinion. 2020 is not an opinion. In fact, nothing up here is an opinion. Everything you see here is a fact. So when people want to argue about the points, bring them to the point of what they're looking at and say, that's facts. Everything here happened. Now, what do we draw a conclusion from? That's an opinion. That opinion, I believe, bears out what we're looking at today, the signs in the heavens. The conclusion is drawn from the facts. 2017, 3 days, being 3 years. From that time to today, 2020, we have 3 years, and we have now a whirlwind of problems. By the way, with the hurricanes coming up now they got bigger problems. They call it a COVID, COVID, there's a name to combine in a hurricane and COVID. Yeah, a COVID-cane. That's what they're calling it. And it's a real problem because if you got millions of people having a flee, now what are you going to do for separation? Now, what are you going to do if somebody's infected? I mean, if something's affected and you got to run, now they're trying to separate what happens to these people that travel and they'll be connected to everybody else, and hotels ain't going to want to put them up. Where are they going to go? Now they're telling you about the shelters. They don't want you in the shelters because it could be a problem. Now, you can still go out and protest. So don't go to a shelter. Just go out there and protest. Yeah, and you're fine. See, because COVID doesn't go to protests, evidently. Because wherever you got a protest, nobody talks about COVID. Isn't that amazing? All right, let's go on. All right, so now, here we have, again, the 3 years. When God gave his instructions to Aaron, it was the second generation he was preparing to go into the promised land. All right, that's the second generation. Numbers 14, but let your little ones, which said they would be prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. In other words, God brought them out. Now, this is important for you and I. When God brought them out, God showed them miracle after miracle after miracle. But they didn't trust him. And no matter what they went through, they kept going back, wanting to go back into their sin. How about you? How about me? You know? How do I feel about what we're going to be going through? I mean, where we're at today is frustrating. It's irritating. It's annoying when you hear what's going on with the news. It's annoying when you got to put a mask on and walk into a store somewhere. We're just at the beginning of all of this. See, we have not been where we're going to go yet. And how about us? Do you despise your calling? Will you walk away from your calling? Will you let alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, pornography, will you let any of that interfere with where God's taking you? Or are you going to stand up to be the kind of person God wants us to be and trust in God and be willing to lose everything you own, even your life, to go in if that's necessary? So, but as for you, your carcasses, he told them, they're going to fall in the wilderness, God says. And your children are going to wander for 40 years into the wilderness. And after the number of days which you searched out the land, even 40 days for a year shall be your iniquities. 40 years because of the breach of the promise that they had with God. The church today are the spiritual Israelites. In the duality of time and events, we too are the second generation. The worldwide church of God, who began to reinstitute the truths of God, the holy days, right, the Sabbath, the plan of God, and all the things that we go through, began to be reestablished in 1933 and 1934. That generation failed. From the beginning to the scattering was in 1978, believe it or not. There was a few breakaways earlier, but the real breakoff came from a family of the Armstrongs, from the worldwide of going to Ted and Herbert, from the son and the dad began to break away. That began to create a huge rift in the church beginning in 1978. That went on for 40 years till 2018. What was the first year after 3 days from 2017? 2018. 40 years. Now, there's a connection here. There's an absolute connection. Why? Because the church, and I've heard churches say, and you've asked, why doesn't the church grow? Well, because God keeps scattering it and scattering it till he is completely scattered to where he wants it to be before his return. That took place for 40 years. Look what Daniel 12 says. When God had accomplished the scattering of the power of the holy people, the end shall come. There'll be no church that can stand before God saying, through our work, we brought this about. You realize that? Can't do it. It's going to be through God's power and his alone. Right? It isn't going to be through one church or one man or one organization. Now, there are many churches of God to this day that are still living in that I'm the guy and this is the church. Unless you're in it, you're not going to make it. I said, my goodness, when is that ever going to stop? But it isn't going to stop until God brings them to their knees. The worldwide ceased to exist. Now, this is new. I'm going to bring to you. I don't know if you've seen this before. The worldwide ceased to exist in 1995 when it chose to go back, become apostate, go back into the doctrines of this world. From 1995 to 2018 is 23 years. So what does that got to do with anything? Watch. Let me show you. God gave him 23 years of warning. It brings him to 2018. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 3, God says, for 23 years, for the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Ammon, and of Judah to this very day, said, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened, God said. God has given the time for the church to make ready, to make repentance of its word, to go back to where it's supposed to be. And God says, just like with Judah, for 23 years, it has failed to do so. Which brings us to 2018 again. That's interesting. Another one brings us 40 years of wandering and scattering, the 23 years of the time to repent from going back to be apostate, to repent of their ways, to come back to the truth, and they failed. God cut it off in Jeremiah at that time, because look at the same chapter, verses 12 and 13. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, now I haven't taken a sidetrack here. I'm on the same track because watch what happens. I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation and the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord, and I will make it desolate forever. Now, some people will say that this is the time that the 70 years were fulfilled and they went back to Judah and back to the land. However, it wasn't desolate forever. That was a partial fulfillment of the old. It's a new fulfillment today, and it's being fulfilled in Israel today, modern day Judah. Modern day Israel, Judah was established on May 14th, 1948. 2018, here we are again, at 2018, the point of the time of the decision to cross over. Now we have 40 years of wandering, 20 years of repenting, and the 70 years that God says He's going to begin to destroy Babylon forever. That's an end time prophecy that this is. It was partially fulfilled in the Old Testament, being fulfilled in your lifetime right now, that began in 2018. Fact or opinion? That's a fact. That's a fact. That's going on. So now, let's look at this. Joshua chapter 3. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the children, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. Don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. The information and what God's been revealing through the series and the timeline series that we've had for the last 7 years is a roadmap. It's a roadmap taking us each step closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. You could not understand what we understand today have you not started from the beginning, walking you through step by step by step. It's a puzzle that God's put together, and you see it through the counterfeit plan of Satan going through now. So now let's go back to our timeline again. When they stood on the edge of the promised land, what did they see? Right? How about you today? If it is correct when we're saying that we have now crossed into that 3-day period now, that God's plan is in effect. Not that we're crossing over our Jordan yet. There's going to come a time that God says He's going to send us over dry shod. That time is coming. But the 3 days of getting ready for God, His plan to begin, I believe is 2020. When you stand now and you're looking ahead, what are you seeing? What's in this open space now that you're looking forward to? Now, let's go back to the children of Israel. They've crossed over. They're sitting there. They've been circumcised. They keep the first Passover. Manna's gone. They begin to eat the food from the land. What's ahead of them? Jericho. They crossed over. There's Jericho. By the way, right up in here is where John the Baptist baptized, too. That's a really interesting point. I think we brought it out once before. I won't go there today because of time. So now, there's Jericho, approximately 7 miles from Jordan. They could see it. When they sat there, every day, day and night, they could see where they had to go. Now, how about you and I? I just obscured where you're going. 2030. What do we have to get there? What did they have to get through to get into the promised land? You see the parallel of what we're going to have to go through ourselves. The Israelites could see Jericho from Jordan. It stayed there day and night before them. Look at Numbers 27. The Lord said to Moses, get you up into this Mount Abiram, which is we call Mount Nebo, and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you've seen it, you shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, with the strife of the congregation to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, and that is the water of Meribah in the Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin. Moses didn't make it, but God loved him enough to bring him into that mountain that he could look across from that mountain around 2,300 feet high, and he could see the whole valley of the promised land. And he said when God took him, put him to sleep, there wasn't a thing wrong with him. It was the appointed time. Why? Because it was time for Joshua to take over. Moses couldn't bring him in anyway. In the plan of God, because Christ has to come back with the power, he can't come back with the meekness. It was through the meekness that he had to sacrifice. See, he's coming back now as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He had to be qualified the first time. He had to be qualified. So now, let's go on. There's the land. Looking from across up on the mountain, that's the promised land that they were looking at. Now, this is a little chart. Now, if you've never seen this, if you never studied it, is if you were up where they believe it was that Moses was up there in Mount Nebo, this is a graph chart that they put there that you can look into the promised land, and they tell you where all the areas are. Here, let me bring it up. If I had to click it at work, that would. Here we go. All right, so here's, I'm brought it up bigger. So there's Jericho from Mount Nebo, and that tells you about how far away it is. So you see, they could see it. Moses saw it. So everything was there in front of them. They had nothing to worry about. This is an ancient chart or a description of what they believed Jericho looked like from the ruins that they found. Now, the children of Israel, they just came across the desert. They're not warriors. They got to go take that city. So they knew they had to go take that city. They didn't know how God was going to do it. All they knew was they had to do it. Not just that city, but every city. Everybody had to be run out of that promised land. When Jesus Christ comes back, any knee is not going to be bowed to Jesus Christ. It has to be removed. Man, woman, and yes, child. God will not have rebellion in His kingdom. Now, the world don't want to hear that today, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. When they saw that, they knew they had to conquer that. By the way, between chapter 1 and chapter 3, there's these two spies that go out. Very similar to two witnesses that's taking place, that's going through there. So there's Jericho. This is another look at the walls. All right, and I'm bringing this out for a point here. All right, this is what they believed the walls they had to look like and how high they had to conquer to be able to go in and destroy them. And there it is with the two-tier, because they had an outer wall and had an inner wall, basically with the walls that were fallen, that they would be walking around for 7 days. They knew they had to conquer that. What about you and I? You realize what we got to conquer with the spirit that's permeating this earth today? I mean, there's a darkness that's just overtaking this planet. So now, Joshua 6. Now watch this. This gets really... I don't know if you've ever done this before, so I'm only going to go briefly here because I'll be running out of time, but I just want to lay the foundation for what I'm going to talk about next time. Here's the instructions in Joshua chapter 6. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kind, with its king and its fighting men." Past tense. That's the same way it is with you and I. This planet's done. Jesus Christ has already overcome, so we don't have to worry about a thing. But you've got to be willing to get out there and be a part of the fight. Jesus is going to fight. You don't have to. He's going to, just like He did then. "March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of 7 of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast with the trumpets and have the whole army give a loud shout, and the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go in, everyone straight in." Okay, there it is. Now, you just read Revelation. You know that? And I'm going to show you that. Because this happened for us. 1 Corinthians 10. All these things happened for our admonition. Okay, so you ready? Let me show you what you just read is what God has not revealed to everybody in the outside of God's church. This is what everybody reads. Their mind goes to Jericho, and it is complete. It's a done deal. It's not. This is a type of what will happen at the end time. All right, so now, what did I just pull up? Let me show you. All right, so I took out, they're going to go around 6 days. One time, every day, for 6 days, right? 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. 7th day has all of this. That's the 7th seal, right? 6 days, one time around. That was in the verses I just took out. Now let's go to verse 4. All right, verse 4 says this. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns on the 7th day. Right there. 7 trumpets of 7 ram's horns on the 7th day. They go around the city 7 times. What else is going on? On the 7th day, march the city 7 times. The 7 plagues. at any given time, anybody in that city could have walked away and got out of that city and said, listen, your God is God. And they could have got out of it and saved their lives. But they didn't. They buckled down and they made it worse. Now, let's go on. Look at verse 5. Now watch what happens in verse 5. Now I'm pulling up Revelation 16, verses 17 through, I think, 18 and 19. The seventh angel pulled out his vial into the air, and there came a voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was an earthquake. Such was not since the men were upon the earth and saw a mighty earthquake and was so great. And the city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God. Now, let's put this verse to that scripture. Let's make the past relevant for the future. Are you ready? Watch. When you hear the sound of a long blast of the trumpet, all right, that's in Joshua verse 5. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven. You with me? Let's go on with the same verse. Have the whole army give a shout, a loud shout, the whole army. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings that came out of heaven. You still with me? Let's go on. And the wall of the city will collapse. What does Revelation say? And there was a great earthquake. Such was not since men were on the earth. And so an mighty earthquake and was so great. Still with me? Opinion? I don't think so. I think the Bible's pretty clear here. How about this? And the army will go up everyone straight in. And what does it say in Revelation? And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon came in remembrance before God. And he came in remembrance before God because for 70 years, he's coming back, he's going to destroy Babylon once and forever. When did that begin? 2018. 70 years from the establishment of Israel. God says he's coming back to wipe them out forever. And we got the confirmation it's going to take place in Revelation as it was seen in Joshua. That's not my opinion. Those are scriptures. You can decide to not believe them. That's your choice. This is going to happen. It's going to happen in our lifetime. I believe God has brought us to the time that we are there right now in 2020, that God is beginning to bring about the final stages of his plan to get us into the kingdom of God. We are on the edge of the promised land. So what do we see? This is what the children of Israel saw. That's what they saw. What do we see? How about this? That's at our doorstep. I believe what God's plan is accurate and it is sure. And I believe we are on the stage from 2020 looking into this that's coming down the pipe very shortly. The first thing God told them to do is get your act together, go warn the churches and tell them to commit to the calling God gave them. That's where we are today. And I think that's why the world hates us today. Now, God tells us in advance. He says, I'm not going to do anything until I tell you. I believe from what we've been putting together for 7 years, with this story today, what we've been putting through this series, I believe God has already told us. I think it's for us to decide what he will do. God has already told us the end from the beginning. And that's why I believe that sign of those heavenly signs that took place 3 years ago is the one point that connects everything to the plan of God. The only thing that is still here from the beginning for us to even look at is the heavenly signs. There's nothing on this planet the same as it was back in Genesis 1:1, only the signs of the heavens. That God set them there to tell us the end from the beginning. So when it was the appointed time, that's why I said in the beginning, the 2 points was, not what we've seen that everybody sees be ready in 3 days. It was the appointed time that God wanted us to know. That's what's hidden from this world. And I believe we are at that appointed time. God has given us the former and the type to understand the latter in the anti-type. Revelation 1:11 said the first thing that God said to do, get ready. We're at the beginning stages of where God wants us to be. Winston Churchill said, This was at the beginning of World War II. Winston Churchill made a statement that helps us to understand where we are at our point of time. This is what he said. Now is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. For you and I, this is not the end. It's not even the beginning of the end. We've got all those seals and the trumps and plagues and everything's got to come yet. Right? However, he said, it is perhaps the end of the beginning. I believe 2020, after those 3 days, God is bringing us to the end of the beginning. That God's final phase for his return of Jesus Christ is at our doorstep. I believe that is coming soon. And I will talk about that in part four to conclude this series in just 2 weeks when I come back. And we'll be talking about freedom on the edge of eternity, part four. We'll be right back.